welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. It is Christmas week here on the Who's On Podcast, and we hope you all are enjoying the holidays with family. Just a little bit of a break to cover some football here, because Virginia will be playing in the Gator Bowl on Saturday, December 27th, a primetime kickoff on ABC against Missouri in the Gator Bowl. And to just take a little peek at this. I know we've been talking a lot about off-season stuff lately because everyone's ready to move on, but we're going to finish this season out strong. So here to talk about it is Cody Goodwin, covers Missouri for Power Mizzou, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. And I hear Eli Drinkwitz is even a fan of the website, or at least an avid reader, Cody.
He at least read our, Missouri's in the midst of an offensive coordinator search. So like you guys, we've been talking about a lot more things other than just football. And Drinkwitz, we got to talk to him early this week, and he was like, yeah, I even read your guys' list on the OC, because, you know, we asked him about the timeline and whatnot. So, you know, naturally we're like, hey, Drinkwitz reads Power Mizzou, subscribe to us, right? So if that's not, you know, everybody that's listening, you know, hey, if you need some Mizzou coverage, we're your guys, you know. But also, yeah. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll ask you this too to start off. Like, what's the vibe in Virginia ACC country about bowl games nowadays? Because Mizzou fans are kind of ready for the portal to get here, as opposed to maybe watch another game.
It's so interesting because Virginia has not played in a bowl game since the 2019 Orange Bowl. So it has been a long time. They qualified for the 2021 Fenway Bowl, but then COVID kind of derailed those plans. So they never actually played the game. So it's like, all right, you got back to a bowl game, but I think people are still kind of reeling from, all right, you're in the ACC championship, you went to overtime, and you were just like a play away from going to the college football playoff for the first time in program history. So it's been a letdown, but I think people are kind of coming around to like, all right, yeah, let's finish this off. You know, 11 wins would be a program record for a season at UVA. So there's a lot to play for, and that's kind of what I've been saying. Like, you know, maybe in future years, UVA can not care about bowl games, but you haven't really earned the ability to not care yet.
I like that. I like that a lot. Mizzou's kind of in a similar situation, right? Like, they came in with a lot of, I think they had high hopes for the season. They wanted to contend for a playoff spot. You know, and we'll probably get into this, came up short in a few of those key games. So they were kind of virtually eliminated from playoff contention in early November. And, you know, now it's, you know, each press conference, it seemed like over the course of November, Drinkwitz is kind of like, you know, hey, they're still played for, right? Like, they wanted to win 10 games, but then they lost Oklahoma. Now it's like, okay, if they win 9 games, that's their 30th win in 3 seasons. You know, they've only done that one other time. You know, if they're able to win this game, it's their third straight bowl victory. They haven't done that before in program history, at least 3 consecutive seasons with bowl victory. So I think that dynamic's kind of interesting. Like, 2 teams that came in, maybe had higher hopes, and then the season happens and those goals change, and here they are meeting in the Gator Bowl.
Yeah. In another world, both could have been in the college football playoff for sure. But let's take a zoomed out look first, because I know a lot of Virginia fans aren't clued into Missouri and what's gone on this season. Finished 8-4, 4-4 in the SEC. They started 5-0. And then you mentioned those close losses to Alabama by 3 points, Vanderbilt by 7, and Oklahoma by 11. The one game that wasn't as close was Texas A&M. And that was when I think Bo Prabilla was injured for that game. So that was Matt Zollers at quarterback that game. So how do you kind of view this season as a whole for Missouri?
Yeah, I think after they beat Arkansas in their season finale, Drinkwitz was very quick to be like, hey, this was a good season. This was not a great season. And their goal was to have a great season. And a great season, I think, for Missouri is 10 wins. You position yourself to kind of be on the periphery of the SEC championship game conversation. But, you know, 10 wins in the SEC usually puts you pretty well in the thick of the playoff chase. And they weren't able to get that done. And those close losses are a big reason why, right? Like, they had, you know, the close loss to Alabama at home, 27-24, where, you know, they had the ball to take the lead, an opportunity to take the lead in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Bo Prabilla, a couple of fourth quarter interceptions kind of derailed those plans. You know, you mentioned the loss at Vanderbilt in Nashville, right? Like, that was another game where they fell down early, was able to come back and give themselves opportunities to take the lead. And, you know, they even after Bo, that was the game where Bo got hurt. He dislocated his ankle on a quarterback run on 4th and goal. And so Matt Zollers comes in, he's a true freshman. And even with all the ups and downs of that game, he had the ball with a chance to give Missouri, you know, the lead or potentially tie the game to force overtime. And who knows what happens there. You know, and then obviously the close loss to Oklahoma in Norman too, where the defense came to play, but the offense, Just wasn't able to kind of live up to their side of things. And that's really kind of been the big theme, I think, for Missouri this season, is that the defense, you know, when the defense is on and the guys are playing really, really well, that's one of the best defenses in the country. They've been lights out. They can rush the passer. They can stop the run. They've got a really good secondary on the back end. They've got great erasers in the middle at linebacker. The offense just a little too inconsistent, right? They have a really fantastic run game with Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts and, you know, Drinkwitz with that outside zone that I'm sure you guys saw plenty when he was at NC State for a few years. Like they have that part figured out. They just weren't really able to consistently figure out the pass game. You know, and now it's interesting because, you know, Bo Prabula started 10 games for them this year. He got hurt, so Matt Zollers was able to start for a couple games. Now Bo's in the transfer portal, so Virginia's going to get to see the Matt Zollers offense. And, you know, even we're kind of curious a little bit, like, okay, is it going to be the Matt Zollers offense that they tried against A&M? Is it going to be a little bit more conservative, which is what we saw against Mississippi State? Or is it going to be something completely different? Because now Missouri's offensive coordinator, Kirby Moore, is gone. He took the head coaching job at Washington State. So, you know, for as much as we think we know this Missouri team, there's a little bit of unknown when it comes to the offensive side of the ball coming into the Gator Bowl. So that'll be a surprise for everybody, a post-Christmas surprise, if you will.
The more I hear about this Missouri team, the more I'm like, there are so many similarities between these two teams going into this game. I mean, first off, you mentioned the Eli Drinkwitz, you know, outside zone run all kind of style offense. Well, Des Kitching's the offensive coordinator for Virginia, was obviously at NC State with him. They have a lot of those outside zone techniques in their offense as well. So there's kind of a blend there with the run game. You know, Jamari Taylor and Ahmad Hardy, both transfer running backs that have come in and had a massive impact on their programs this year. And I'm trying to, you know, just a ton of similarities. You mentioned the Vanderbilt game when Bo got hurt. The Wake Forest game for Virginia is when Chandler Morris got hurt and Daniel Kalen, a young quarterback who had one redshirt year at Nebraska, had to come in, and you're trying to kind of evaluate what he looks like in this offense. Morris came back after that, so we didn't get to see, you know, quite a run like Zollers has had. But so many similarities between these two teams. And yeah, like we said earlier, this in a different world, both these teams could have been in the college football playoff hunt. But we talked a lot about all the change. So I wanted to start off by having a little segment called Who's Not Going to Florida? Who's Not Going to Jacksonville? And we'll start off with the offense coordinator, Kirby Moore, who obviously took the head coaching job at, coincidentally, Washington State, a team that Virginia played earlier this year. What is that going to do to Missouri? Kind of how big of a loss is it? Just your thoughts on Kirby Moore heading out.
Yeah, Kirby Moore leaving. I think it was called an amicable split, right? Because I think there were some definite flaws to maybe his offensive style or what he was trying to do. And part of that could have also been personnel. That's been a fun conversation on the Power Mizzou board. Like, was it more Kirby's fault or was it more Missouri's fault, right? Because you look at the Missouri's offense, they've always been able to run the ball, right? You look at since Drinkwitz has been here, like just fantastic success of you know, running backs who have come in, who have, you know, transferred in and have done really, really well, whether it's Tyler Beatty, Nate Noel, Marcus Carroll, Cody Schrader, now Ahmad Hardy. You know, they have the run game stuff figured out. When it comes to the pass game, Kirby was here for 3 years, and Missouri's pass game steadily declined each of the 3 years. They were like top 40 nationally in passing offense in 2023. 2024, they dipped into the, you know, the mid to low 70s, and then this past season finished 103rd. And so I think, you know, some segment of the fan base will be like, play calling stinks. The other segment of the fan base is like, well, Bo Prabula is not the guy for this offense. And so, you know, pick your poison, I suppose, there. So Kirby leaving, I think it's good because it's like, okay, now Drinkwitz doesn't necessarily have to fire somebody or let somebody go, right? He's able to go to Washington State to be the head coach there. So he kind of got what he needed out of being an offensive coordinator in an SEC school, or at least a Power Four school. And now Drinkwitz gets to replace him, right? And so that's kind of where we're at over here in Columbia, just trying to figure out like what's his replacement going to be. He said kind of what he's looking for, that type of thing. What that means for Missouri in the Gator Bowl is that I would assume that Drinkwitz is probably going to call plays, and so maybe there's a little bit more creativity with the offense. You know, Matt Zollers is going to be quarterback now because, you know, who's not going to Florida? Bo Prabula is obviously not going to be there. So it's going to be the Matt Zollers experience. And we can touch on him a little bit more later, but he's got a really strong arm. So I wonder if Drinkwitz is going to let him throw the ball a little bit. But also, when you've got Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts at running back, you're going to want to hand the ball off as often as possible, right? So I think the offense, there's a chance that it could look a little bit different. I don't know if that means better, but it'll probably look a little bit different just because of who's calling plays, the coaches that'll be there, the personnel that'll be there, right? You know, I mean, who else is not going to Florida? Missouri lost two of their top four receiving options to the transfer portal in Marquise Johnson and Josh Manning. So those guys won't be there. So, we're still expecting them to have their top two receivers in Kevin Coleman Jr. and Donovan Olubide. So that shouldn't change too much. But, without that receiver depth, like, are we going to see some younger guys? Are they going to throw as much? There's a lot of kind of interesting unknowns here that we're as much curious as maybe Virginia fans are in terms of, like, what's this Missouri offense going to look like? Like, we know they've got Hardy, they're going to run the ball. After that, no idea. Let's flip a coin and find out.
Yeah. Well, the big news obviously was, recently, Prabula going into the transfer portal that y'all broke on your website. Obviously, Missouri's passing attack ranked last in the SEC this year. So in that sense, how much of a loss is it? Obviously, he's a good runner as well. Where does this kind of put Missouri without Prabula, and kind of were y'all seeing this as a possibility coming, and kind of what do you think of Matt Zollers? It's a loaded question, but take it from there.
I think I similar to Kirby leaving, I think it was a little bit of an amicable split, right? Like, Bo's a really tough competitor. He's pretty versatile as a quarterback, right? There were a lot of games this season where he made some throws, and we were kind of like, okay, we're going to sit up on our seat and pay attention to this because that was really impressive, right? Obviously the running threat helped a lot. Like, I think he finished with six rushing touchdowns this year, and Kirby really leaned into that as a play caller too, right? Like, when you've got a quarterback that can run the ball and also he can throw it a little bit, it diversifies your offense a little bit, right? So you're able to put a lot of defenses in conflict. And early on in the season, we saw a lot of success with that, right? Like, he was able to throw the ball quite a bit against Kansas. He used his legs really to help Missouri come back and beat Auburn on the road in overtime. So, we saw some good things, but I mean, at the end of the day, like, it just, when it came to being, you could tell that he was a first year starting quarterback, right? Playing in SEC schedule, playing the Alabamas, the Texas A&Ms. Vanderbilt had a good defense this year going on the road to play Oklahoma. Like, there were a lot of moments where he struggled. I think maybe personnel and what Bo was able to do maybe limited Kirby and Drinkwitz when it came to play calling and the play sheet and just what they were comfortable doing. And so that I think that really played a role into why the offense was so inconsistent this season. Like, you could always rely on Hardy, but if you're going to hand the ball off 60 times a game, like, at some point you have to mix it up, and there were only so many buttons they could push. And so for a lot of the season, the offense, especially when they got in the SEC play, the offense just looked really, really hard. And so, like, I think Bo brought a lot of experience. He brought a lot of versatility. There were some good things. There were some high highs and some low lows throughout the course of the season. But I think that the biggest thing with him leaving is the lack of experience, right? Because now in his place, you've got Matt Zollers, who is incredibly talented, has a really strong arm. He was a four-star prospect, top 100 guy coming out, according to our 24/7 sports experts. But he's only a 19-year-old true freshman. And so, his first career start was against Texas A&M, who we all know is in the college football playoff. The first time he got extended playing time was against Vanderbilt on the road in Nashville. That was a team that just narrowly missed out on the college football playoff. So a little bit of trial by fire there. Now he has to play a Virginia team that has a top 25 defense, and you'd know better than me, but it sounds like most everybody is going to play for Virginia. So that'll be kind of a fun challenge to see what he can do there. And so, again, it kind of comes back to, they could lean into Zoller's strong arm, right? But now they've got some receiver depth issues. So what is that going to look like? They could lean into handing the ball off 50 or 60 times when you've got Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts. But then you risk kind of being a little bit too one-dimensional. Drinkwitz has said multiple times that they're going to come to this game to win this game, right? They want to get that ninth win. They want to get that 30th win over the last three seasons. And so, yeah, I think they'll it'll I imagine it'll be some combination of leaning into Zoller's arm strength, but also when you've got one of the best running backs in the country, you're probably gonna let him, try to run a little bit as well. And so I think the offense will look different. Because if Bo was there, they were probably gonna lean into his running ability and, the plus one run game and, maybe some shorter passes. But with Zollers, with that arm strength, that they're probably gonna try and chuck it deep a little bit. So I hope Virginia secondary is ready because they're probably gonna get a lot of looks in this game on Saturday.
Well, we can talk about it later, but that was a huge problem area for the defense early in the season. They kind of corrected that as the year went on. You mentioned on the Virginia side of things. So far, what we have is one of the more notable transfer portal entries for Virginia is all ACC defensive back Jason Brevard, who kind of plays in the slot nickel role in this Virginia defense, kind of a hybrid position. He has entered the trans or intended to enter the transfer portal. You got to use all this new terminology because there's only one portal now and you got to wait to get there. So yeah, He's a bigger loss, but also one that kind of behind the scenes, some expectation was coming that he was going to leave. His snap count actually kind of decreased towards the end of the season, and to the point where against Virginia Tech in that rivalry game, he did not start the game because he was suspended for the first quarter for team disciplinary issues. And so you've seen freshman Corey Costner, who I'll talk about a little bit later on, as a guy to watch in this game, has played more of those snaps at the nickel role and has really looked good in some of those games, and probably one of their best performers in the ACC championship game, in a game where there weren't a lot of great performers. So he's one that stood out there. Other than that, they've had a couple other guys into the transfer portal. None have really played a role this year. Dre Walker, Mekhi Buchanan have been injured for the majority of the season. Tyshawn Wyatt, the offensive lineman, has only played two games. Za'Darian Harrison redshirted after four games to preserve, an extra year for him as he enters the portal. So on that end, there's not a ton of movement there. Now, the questions that are still up in the air, because we haven't talked to Tony Elliott in a little bit here, is bowl opt-outs and kind of what comes with that. We'll see if anything materializes there. There are definitely rumors that are going under the surface, but we'll leave those where they are. And then injuries as well. UVA's top wide receiver, Trell Harris, came off the field injured with a knee injury in the ACC championship. They were waiting on imaging last time we talked to Tony Elliott. So it's been a few weeks before we get to this bowl game. So we'll see if he is healthy to play in this finale. But he also did say that any off-season surgeries, guys were putting those off because everyone wanted to play in this Gator Bowl. So assuming you'll get a pretty full strength Virginia team, at least, taking into account some of the season injuries, their all ACC linebacker Cam Robinson, the best player on the team, he won't be there obviously because he's out for the year. So it should be a pretty full side. So, I mean, I think all in all, it's going to be, unlike some other bowl games, a pretty competitive on both sides.
Yeah, I think so. I think with Missouri's offensive question marks, that's kind of a wait and see. We just don't know what that game plan is going to be. I mean, in terms of defensively, though, that's where Missouri's strength obviously was. And I will say that the one key guy missing from Missouri's defense is Josiah Trotter. He had a small knee injury in the season finale against Arkansas. Went ahead and got that fixed. He's also a guy that we're kind of quietly keeping track when it comes to NFL decisions. He's only a redshirt sophomore, only spent 1 year with Missouri, but all SEC linebacker, first and second team, depending on who did the voting. Just a guy that absolutely has an NFL future. And so, will he go early or will he come back? That's probably more for us to figure out, but he will not be in the bowl game. That's a big miss because obviously anytime you take out an all-conference linebacker, the defense is going to look a little different. But fortunate for Missouri, linebacker was actually one of the position groups that they were very, very deep at this year. So, you're going to see a lot of Tristan Newsome, a lot of Khalil Jacobs, and a lot of one of my personal favorites, Nicholas Rodriguez, just a guy that plays with a lot of fire. And just runs around and has a nose for the ball and just really talented guy. Occasionally makes some mistakes because he's playing too fast, but I think it'll be interesting to see how Virginia's offense is able to move the ball against Missouri's defense, because we saw Trotter got flagged for targeting against Mississippi State earlier this season, and you could tell that the defense was still good when he wasn't on the field because he got the targeting call early in the game. But when he wasn't on the field, he's also the green dot. Missouri's defense bit more susceptible to some things, especially with Mississippi State running that veer and shoot. So, Chandler Morris has a little bit of mobility about him. I wonder how that'll work with Trotter not out on the field. But this is also something Missouri's known, so they've been able to prepare for this. So that'll be kind of a fun matchup as well.
Well, you lean right into it because I want to look at more of the matchup specific stuff now. So let's start with actually when UVA has the ball, when that Virginia's offense is out there. Missouri had one of the better defenses in the SEC. They're second in yards allowed this season. What really stands out about this Tigers defense?
They just don't have a glaring weakness. Like, it was a lot of fun to watch over the course of the season. Like, their front is able to stop the run thanks to big Chris McClellan up in the middle. That's a guy that's probably going to be playing on Sundays for a long time. But then they've also got edge defenders, and they're really deep at that defensive end position, and they're able to get after the quarterback, whether it's Zion Young and Damon Wilson, who, for my money, that's one of the best pass rushing duos in the country. But then they're also able to go pretty deep. They've got some guys like Darius Smith, who's a Georgia transfer. He's really impactful, even though he only plays 20 20 snaps a game. Langdon Kitchen is a really fun story. He came up from Division II Northwest Missouri State and carved out kind of that defensive end two role behind Zion Young. And then they've also got some other guys in the hopper too that are probably going to get some playing time, like Nate Johnson, who was a freshman All-American at App State, transferred in. Dayden Hopkins, who's a true freshman from right down the road in Herman, Missouri. He's a guy that I know the staff is really, really excited about. He was really impressive in some of the snaps that he was able to get this season. So that's just the defensive front. We've talked plenty about the linebackers. They're able to clean up basically anything in the middle. And then the secondary might be the weakest part of the defense. And even then, there's a lot of dudes that are in that secondary that are really, really talented, right? You got Jalen Catalon in the middle, who he's in his, 14th year of college eligibility. So that's a guy that's seen a lot of ball. He's been all conference, both in the SEC and the Mountain West. You have a bunch of really, really good cornerbacks in Toriano Pride Jr., Stephen Hall. Those guys have just played a lot of ball, really talented, good athletes. And then you've got other guys at safety like Marvin Burks Jr., Dalen Carnell, who has a nose for the big play, Santana Banner, who's a transfer from Northern Illinois. He's gotten a lot of snaps over the course of this season too. So, I mean, they can do a little bit of everything. They don't have a glaring weakness, and there's a lot of depth at basically every level of this defense. Like, it's we've not been shy about calling this defense a championship caliber defense for Missouri, not just an SEC championship caliber defense, but this defense has played well enough for Missouri to win all 12 of its games this season, and the offense hasn't held up its bargain. It's end of the bargain in four of those games. And so this is, when everything's clicking and this defense is firing on all cylinders, it's a really hard defense to, I mean, it's a defense that will attack you. And so it's been really fun to watch, and it's really hard to, try and find space on the field in order to move these guys out of the way. So it's been really fun to watch this season, and I'm really curious to, it's a bowl game. It's also, it's a postseason exhibition. Are these guys going to be as fired up? I'd like to think
Sure.
there's a little bit of pride in performance there. And as long as they come ready to go, I'm really intrigued to kind of see what Virginia has in store, to see what they can do to find some empty space in that defense.
Yeah, no, the numbers bear it out. This Missouri defense has been on it all season long. And I don't know what the over under is, but I would bet on the under in this game because I think it's going to be two pretty good defenses going up against some question marks on the offensive side of the football. For Virginia, obviously, it's been a Jekyll and Hyde season. This offense started off the year as one of the top offenses in the country through six games. And then the second half of the season, whether it was just teams kind of figuring things out or injuries, attrition, or just kind of maybe some falling back to the mean, it just kind of hasn't clicked the same way in the second half of the season. But they've kind of been an offense that have made the plays at the times that they needed to, except in the ACC championship, when arguably it was the time that you really needed to, when they call a trick play there in overtime. But they did lead a comeback there to tie that game back up, that they had been trailing in. So I'm interested because this offense has run the football really well this year. That's something that Tony Elliott has been wanting to do ever since he got to Charlottesville. This is the first year they've been able to do that. So Jamari Taylor has been a huge part of that. The offensive line has been really solid up front. They are pretty much healthy going into this one, so that'll be a strong spot for them. We'll see about the running back situation too, with Jamari Taylor and Harrison Whaley's been a good backup for him. And then from there, it's a freshman in Zay Davis, who's been getting some snaps as of late. So we'll have to see kind of what the running game looks like in this one. But in the passing game, there's so much potential there, because on the outside, Terrell Harris, Jamal Edgerrin, Cam Ross, for my money, is one of the best wide receiver cores in the ACC, just don't get featured enough. And that's because this has been a team that really likes to run the football. So interested to see kind of how these matchups go. From your vantage point, I want to hear a key player that people should tune into to see on this defense for Missouri.
Yeah, for Missouri's defense, I think the key player to probably pay attention to, since Trotter won't be playing, is Damon Wilson. Damon Wilson, he transferred in from Georgia over this past offseason, and he has been just everything Missouri could have dreamed of and more. Like, he left Georgia because he wanted to primarily focus on rushing the passer. And he's actually popped up quite a bit on a lot of NFL draft boards because of how effective he's been. He's had about 50 total pressures this season. He's led Missouri in total sacks played. He kind of plays that outside linebacker position. So he'll do a lot of, post snaps, kind of stand up rushing. But he's just really, really effective. He's got a lot of different pass rush moves, and he's just been an absolute menace for opposing offensive tackles. And so you combine him with Zion Young, and it's just that pass rush has been an absolute menace. It's one of those where, you kind of watch those defenses where it's like, hey, they kind of need a big play here in order to maybe switch the energy of the game. It's usually Damon Wilson or Zion Young, one of those two guys. that'll ultimately make the play for Missouri. So I think I go with Damon as opposed to Zion Young because he had some off the field issues, we'll say, earlier this month, and so his bowl availability a little TBD at the moment. But as long as Damon Wilson is playing, that's absolutely a player to watch on that Missouri defense. He's lights out, and he's another dude that it's like, yep, you can tell that he's going to play on Sundays.
Is there an abbreviation that's more used during bowl season than TBD? Because it seems like all of bowl season is just TBD. We'll find out when we get there. And going off of that, for Virginia on their side of the ball, it may seem pretty surface level, but I'm just interested in the running back situation right now with Jamari Taylor and then the backups with Harrison Whaley and Zay Davis. They've run the football really effectively all season long, but as we've said all through this, Missouri's defense is just a different animal to face. So really interested to see kind of how they run up against that defensive front. And then also for Chandler Morris, coming off probably one of his poor performances in a UVA uniform in the ACC championship game, if he could bounce back a little bit against this Missouri defense. Flip to the other side when Missouri has the ball. We talked a lot about it, the quarterback situation, but this team, it makes their money on the ground. Missouri leads the SEC in rushing, eighth in the country, led by probably the top running back in the country, depending on which voters you want to go with. And Ahmad Hardy had over 1,500 yards rushing this year, 16 touchdowns on the ground. And the other thing that just stands out in this, I was talking to another guy that covers UVA the other day. This offensive line is just massive. So what? Why have they been so effective on the ground this year?
Yeah, I think a couple of different things. One, I think the offensive line, that's obviously you always start in the trenches, right? This offensive line has had its fair share of struggles this season, but they're uniquely built to run block. And they have shown that time and again over the course of the season. They've occasionally have struggled probably more in the interior than they have on the outside. But you know, when you run that outside zone, you want your tackles to be able to move and get in space. And Keegan Trost and Caden Green are just two fantastic athletes for offensive tackles. And so they've done a really good job of just moving in space. And you know, the offensive line has done really, really well. Just, you know, when they're bigger and they're stronger than you and they know it, they're able to kind of, you know, displace the line of scrimmage a little bit. And that allows, you know, Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts to really take off. And, you know, a lot is made about Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts, you know, their runs after contact. You know, but when they're able to get 2 and 3 yards downhill before they even see a defender, that's when Missouri is really cooking in the run game. But, yeah, I think it starts Missouri's offense with the run game. It starts with Ahmad Hardy, right? Who, you know, I don't know what else you can say about this guy that maybe you didn't already say, right? Like he's a consensus All-American. You know, he was what, second nationally in total rushing yards during the regular season. He was a Doak Walker Award finalist. You know, he led the nation in yards after contact with more than 1,000 rushing yards after contact. So like he's a little bit of a bowling ball, man. Like he's 5'10", 212 pounds, and he just finds a way to keep his legs churning. And so, you know, I think his like actual like physique, in addition to, you know, Missouri's system with that outside zone, like I think those really pair well together, just, you know, kind of perfect player for the perfect system fit. You know, and then on top of that, like it's, you know, Ahmad Hardy's has been a really fun story to follow this year because he, you know, he grew up in small town Mississippi where, you know, population of his hometown in Omaha, Mississippi is like less than 1,000 people. So really, really small town, little country boy. Like he loves, like he's got a, you know, a trio of horses in Columbia, loves to go fishing, one of those guys. But you know, really overlooked as a recruit, right? And so he ended up at Louisiana Monroe as a true freshman, was able to start, ran for 1,000 yards, hit the portal, you know, kind of one of those feel-good portal stories, right? Where he goes from small school to big school and is able to really kind of take advantage of his opportunity and you know, emerged as one of the best running backs in college football this year. Some might say the best college running back this season. So, I mean, he's been really, really fun to watch, man. Like you can just tell when he gets the ball, like everybody just kind of sits up in their seat because you're not exactly sure what's going to happen. And he has just had some incredible highlights. Like he had one highlight this year where, you know, he kind of got spun around and was like kind of sitting on the offensive line, jumped off, landed on his feet, ran into the end zone. He had a run against Arkansas where I counted at least 5 or 6 Arkansas defenders had an opportunity to bring him to the ground, and he was just like absolutely not, and raced down the field for a 50-yard touchdown run. Like he is something special, man. And so I'm really curious to, you know, I'm excited to see him play again, but two, like I know Virginia's run defense, one of the best in the country too. So, you know, getting to see them, you know, against Ahmad Hardy, against Jamal Roberts, who's been a really, really good running back too, as well. Like you know, he's rushed for almost 700 yards and is an excellent pass blocker. He's also one of the running backs that they use in the pass game as well. So, you know, kind of a really good 1-2 punch there, I think, for Mizzou in the run game. Obviously, it starts with Hardy, but Roberts really, really good and valued as part of the program as well. So, Yeah, I think you start with those guys with Mizzou, and I'm really curious to see how they do against that Virginia run defense because they've been really stout this year. And Hardy's obviously one of the best backs in college football, so it's kind of, an unstoppable force against, an immovable object. Let's see who wins.
Yeah, it has been a really good run defense this year. Although in the ACC championship, that's kind of one of the areas that just wasn't quite up to the standard that they had the rest of the season. They rotate a ton of guys on the defensive line to the point early in the season we were like, "Are y'all rotating too much?" Because I don't even think these guys are really getting a break when they're sprinting off the field each play for to get a breather per se. Yeah, so they rotate a bunch of guys in there. They got some really good guys on the interior and Jason Hammond, Jameer Carter, Hunter Osborne, Anthony Britton, Jacob Holmes, a lot of guys on the inside that they play pretty consistent reps with. So theoretically, they're fresher to play as the game goes on. I mentioned earlier, Cam Robinson not available. So Maddox Marcellus, a guy that played at Eastern Kentucky, he's kind of been filling in there that linebacker role. And he's been good in those reps. And then James Jackson, another veteran linebacker there in the middle. Really interested to see just can they slow this running game down? Because when they have stopped the run this year, this team has been just dynamite. But some of the games that they haven't been able to slow down the run, I look back at North Carolina State when they gave up 216 yards to Hollywood Smothers, one of the better running backs in the country as well. That was a game that they kind of struggled defensively. We talked about the passing game earlier. Matt Zollers filling in there. He's got a big arm. Can this Missouri team do anything in the passing game that maybe Virginia is just not expecting?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Go find out.
It's yeah, right? Like we'll all find out on Saturday. I think it's interesting because it's, and this is probably more of a Mizzou conversation than a Virginia conversation, but when Zollers came in that game against Vanderbilt, like they didn't really have time to kind of overhaul the offense or switch out the playbooks. Like we're going to go from the Perbula playbook to the Zollers playbook, right? And so Zollers was running kind of the Bo Prabula offense, if you will, and he looked really solid. Like he looked calm. He stood in the pocket, took some hits, made some throws, and you could just tell, like, okay, like there's something here. Like he needs reps, he needs time, he needs experience, but there's something here. And then Missouri had a bye week, and then when they came out against Texas A&M, they kind of leaned into the fact that he can chuck the ball 100 yards, like just with the flick of a wrist. And so I found that to be a little bit confusing. Because, like, I get it. You want to hit on some big plays, maybe shake up the defense a little bit. Maybe that might open up some opportunities for Hardy to run the ball. But I thought it was kind of interesting that they leaned into that. And then, when he played Mississippi State, Hardy ended up running for 300 yards that night. So it really didn't matter what Zollers did. And so I guess that's why I'm curious, like, okay, like what's the game plan going to be in this Gator Bowl? You've got a really good defense on the other side. I think Zollers obviously has the arm strength, but he's shown that he can kind of operate in that, short to mid-range pass game pretty effectively. And so, I don't know that we can really take a whole lot from this Gator Bowl as what does it mean for the future of Matt Zollers? But I am really intrigued to kind of see, like, okay, like Drinkwitz is excited that he's going to be the starter. What does that mean? What's it going to look like? Like he's missing a couple of his star receivers, but he's got the key guys there. Another big name that's going to be missing for Mizzou is Brett Norfleet, a tight end who had shoulder surgery not long after the season finale. So he won't be there, but Zollers has a really, really good rapport with, tight end two. His name is Jude James. So they've connected for a couple of touchdowns this season, including one to, tie the game against Vanderbilt. And so, what is that going to look like? What are his options going to be? What kind of buttons are they going to be able to press? I think that's what makes it really intriguing. I'm excited to see Zollers play again because it's, anytime a freshman's out there, it's kind of like, all right, like what, show me what you got, kid, right? And so, we've seen some high highs, we've seen some confusing lows, and so now it's kind of like, okay, what are we going to see? What's the game plan going to be like? And so there's from the Mizzou end of things, like it's really intriguing just because we aren't really sure what we're expecting.
Yeah, there's a lot of times this season that Virginia has been able to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So there's other times that the pass rush has kind of gotten to sleep a little bit or just can't get there soon enough. I talked about Mitchell Melton, the defensive end for Virginia, who was an all ACC type guy, and it seems like every time he was just a second too late to get to the quarterback, and he's always in the backfield, always getting pressures, but just a second too late sometimes. So it was interesting if maybe they can get a little bit more pressure on him in those passing situations. They like to bring in their third down package, which is just loaded up with fast guys on the defensive line and get into the backfield and get after the quarterback. Players to watch on this side of the ball. I'll go first just because the one I alluded to earlier is Corey Koster, the true freshman defensive back, who's going to be filling in at that role at nickel in this game. And there's a lot of hope for his future and kind of what the player that he can develop and grow into in this kind of hybrid corner nickel safety look. And in this spot, and you know, Missouri may not try to pass a ton, but this spot is really important in run defense as well. Like I can count, you know, a ton of times this year that Jason Brevard, who had been playing this role, has had to come up and run defense and make some plays on the running back out there, especially in these outside zone looks that you're going to get against Virginia Tech and Duke. Koster played a lot more snaps than he had previously. ACC championship game was probably one of his best games. Five tackles, interception there that kind of turned the tide in this game when it was not looking so great for Virginia. So he's one guy I've got my eye on, and a guy that, you know, I think the coaching staff overall is really high on. Who should we look out for on Missouri on the offense?
On the offense, I think obviously you start with Hardy. I think all eyes are going to probably be on Matt Zollers as well. But I think, you know, if you wanted to stretch maybe past that, I would say keep an eye on Jamal Roberts as well, who, you know, I've talked about as running back too. He's kind of the lightning to Ahmad Hardy's thunder. You know, and then I think another name to maybe keep an eye on as well is, you know, I don't know how privy you Virginia fans are to watching offensive line play, but keep an eye on right tackle Keegan Trost. He's a guy that actually he played at Wake Forest, so maybe a little bit of familiarity there, but really, really good player. Another really good portal find for Missouri. You know, he was named to a couple different All-American lists this past season. Just one of those guys that, you know, I'm not sure that Mizzou exactly knew what they were getting with Trost when they were able to get him out of the portal, but he turned out to be like a fantastic player. Like he's handled most pass rushers really effectively this season. He's obviously a bully in the run game as well. They run a lot of their outside zone runs behind Keegan Trost. So, you know, I know, hey, picking an offensive lineman, maybe not the sexy pick in terms of players to watch, but you know, I always appreciate the big guys in the trenches. And I know that Virginia's edge defenders really, really talented coming off the edge there. So seeing Keegan Trost handle some of those guys, you know, I think those are going to be some fun battles if you're not just following the ball. If you want something a little interesting to watch, I would say Keegan Trost against whoever Virginia decides to put on the left side of their pass rush line. That could be some fun battles.
Hey, in a game like this, I think it's the perfect pick to pick an offensive lineman when both these teams are just going to be trying to run the ball and get to the finish line in the end of this game. All right, we've reached the prediction hour here, and with full disclosure, we're recording this well in advance of the game. Who knows what could happen in the few days before we actually get to the game? So I'm gonna put that caveat on any predictions right now. Missouri is a 4-point favorite. That came down a little bit, especially after the Pribula news. So Missouri, a 4-point favorite over Virginia going into this. I did look up the over/under. It's 44.5. So that's right on the border. That's actually a good line for this game, if you want to go over or under on that. But what is your prediction for this game?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was one comment that Tony Elliott made during the bowl press conference, kind of the introductory press conference, where he was, you know, he had made the comment that, like, you know, and hey, in the ACC, like they like to utilize their speed, they like to get their playmakers the ball in space. But he had made the comment that, you know, he looked at Missouri's, you know, offensive and defensive lines, and he, you know, I'm exaggerating here a little bit, but he was basically like, wow, those guys are huge, you know. And so I, you know, when it comes down to it, like football is, you know, can my big guys move your big guys out of the way so that my small guys can run with the ball? And Missouri's been really, really good about doing that this season on both sides of the ball, right? And so I think that might be a little bit of a difference in this game. I do think Virginia's got a crafty enough offense, and you know, you wonder how locked in Missouri's defense is actually going to be for this game. You know, so I think we're going to see some fun back and forth in this game, but I think something to the effect of 24-20 Missouri, like, sounds about right. It also wouldn't surprise me if it was 24-20 Virginia too, right? Like, it's, you know, I don't think it's going to be one, you know, last team that has the ball type of thing, but you know, I think a good fun back and forth competitive game. Nobody gets too far ahead, nobody falls too far behind, but you know, just kind of a good old-fashioned postseason football game. But I think I like Missouri's size advantage, especially on that offensive front, wanting to run the ball a little bit. And then, you know, I have no reason to not trust Missouri's defense to get the job done. So I think Virginia might move the ball a little bit, but ultimately, I think the Tigers will win this one in a close one.
Yeah, we did not share notes before this, but I had Virginia 24-20, just so you know. So you take the Missouri 24-20, I'll take the Virginia 24-20. I cannot see more than 24 points being scored in this game unless something just crazy happens. Maybe Hardy goes off or something like that. But I think both these offenses are going to be kind of slowly, methodically moving the ball up and down the field. The defense on both sides are going to be really strong in this game. And so we could have a couple three and outs going on in this one. So we'll see. But yeah, I think I'll go 24-20. So that's good. We got balance on both sides. There's no, too heavy, because I know Virginia fans this year have been very key on, on college game day. If they all pick Virginia for a game or something like that, everyone's like, what are we doing? Like, now we're going to lose the game. Everyone's worried about the curse. So I think we got a good balance here on this, Cody. But appreciate you hopping on here. I know we got a little bit before the bowl game, but looking forward to seeing you down in Jacksonville for the Gator Bowl.
I just hope that both teams keep most of their guys in and play most of them, and that we don't have
Yeah.
like super big portal movements so that we have to like come on and re-record before the game next Saturday. But no, man, this was fun. Like I'm hopeful that both teams show up with most of their A teams, because I think it could be a really fun football game and a fun way to round out this season for both squads.
Yeah, I here's, knock it on wood and everything. Let's just, this is the podcast. We're putting it out there. These are the teams, my team's on the field kind of situation. So we'll see how we get there. But Cody, appreciate you coming on. And we will see you all down in Jacksonville for the Gator Bowl next week. I'll be getting into town a little bit later in the week. And you can hit the bell icon, subscribe to the Who's On podcast on YouTube, follow, subscribe, and leave some 5-star reviews on Apple and Spotify. And we will see y'all down in Jacksonville for the Gator Bowl to close out this season. So see you then.